Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom sliding into the Tuesday happy hour, and I'm happy because we're partying at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, live on location, Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. And Dom, we've been joined here at the table by a fine guest, friend of ours. She is Maggie Dawn. She's the host of the Maggie Dawn Show, Milwaukee County Corporation Council. Any other nice stuff I should say about you? Friend of ours, yes. Maggie Dawn, welcome to the party.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys. Most importantly, your friend and a friend of all the Civic Media listeners, which is the whole point of this enterprise.
And you're going to do your live broadcast immediately following what some say is the greatest radio show ever. Others point towards your fine product, like the WBA, but, you know, I'm nearly over the Crystal Trophy.
Listen, you and I can talk about what basketball looks like in the NBA and the entire waste of the regular season until you get back to, like, the last quarter of the season when everybody's finally running up and down the court as if it means something.
Right.
And we can talk about the WNBA anytime you want. Four-year varsity women's basketball player at Rufus King High School for the College Bound in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Very proud general.
Dom's been to a basketball game.
I've been to many basketball games.
Listen, you ever want to dunk, brother, I'll put you on my shoulders.
Dude, I own a basketball.
Maggie Dawn, let's talk some politics. I got to tell you, yesterday, I don't know if Dominic had the veins throbbing. They were popping out of his face. He was so angry at the legal filing of the Republicans in regards to Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator. And here's what we found out, Maggie Dawn. They were lying through their teeth. They were lying in public. They were lying to the media. They were lying right up until the point they had to put it in a legal filing. And I'm talking about the Republican legislative leader, specifically LeMahieu, Voss, and Dom's buddy, Kapinga.
Yeah.
It's LeMahieu. It's LeMahieu. But one of the things that I think we need to start extrapolating from what's gone on post-2020 is that lawyers, as much as we may love or hate them, really matter. And they mattered in perpetuation of the election lie. Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, all of these different lawyers. Right?
We're going with Cheesebro.
Cheesebro. These lawyers who owe an oath of candor and accuracy to the court, who swear and to a heightened level of ethical scrutiny as officers of the court, these folks have violated their oaths. When it came time in this particular lawsuit, with lawyers signing their names to sworn documents and filings in these courts, you finally heard some of the truth-telling that we should expect from elected leaders, regardless of whether or not it is in a court filing. People should be telling the truth, and the fact that the truth finally came out in this court filing on Monday is really important.
Yeah, but it's really damn galling that they're lying on Sunday and then filing documents on Monday. I mean, it's never been so clear to me, Maggie, that they don't care about their constituents. They're just putting out whatever rationale or reason they need to because the ends justify the means.
I think caring about their constituents is sort of the hook here, right? If we didn't
care too much?
Well, if we didn't have gerrymandered districts, right, we'd have districts that have mixed electorates. which would have a moderating impact on these elected officials. And because they had a moderating impact, because elections actually meant something, because the conclusions weren't foregone, because it was and could be a true democracy again, you wouldn't see such capitulation to the extremities within the Republican Party. And I think that's, they justify it by simply saying, I am responding to my constituencies. Well, your constituencies have been gerrymandered to make what used to be purple districts ruby red. And as a result, we see these unconscionable misrepresentations of what's actually happened. And again, when lawyers have to sign their name to it and it means something, now you're seeing some truth telling in these.
Normally when I use multisyllabic words like that, I'm just making them up.
But well, at you least you said multisyllabic like, correctly.
Like
wow.
You have
I got that.
Gravity of the words you use. Like you're not making them up. Our fine guest, Maggie Dunn, attorney at law, friend of the devil's advocates. Maggie, what's your take on the newest, which is effectively what the dispelment of a Wisconsin democratically appointed elections commissioner happened today, my understanding. They're getting rid of democratic appointees from this panel. And I don't see what motivates this other than the big lie and the carrying forward of the big lie. It was rigged in 2020 and Trump really won, despite all evidence, all recounts, all, you know the history.
Well, they'll say that they'll do
all
it until they got
to
file
contrary.
Some court filings, and then they'll be like, well, yeah, I guess he really did win. I mean, it's contradictory.
But they dispelled an elections commissioner, and Bob Spindell is still on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and he was a false elector that bragged about
voter disenfranchisement in Milwaukee. Yes.
See, that was one of those multi-syllable words that I stuck on.
Well, two things. First of all, in Molly Beck's article in the Journal Sentinel that addressed this legal filing, she actually called what Donald Trump has said about the election most recently a lie, used the L word. It's interesting because for some reason, U.S.-based media has shied away from calling things what they are, meaning it's a lie to say that there was any systemic irregularity in the 2020 election at any level in any state that would have affected the outcome.
I remember when they didn't want to call Scott Walker a liar. They said, what are we going to call him, a big
welder.
Fat welder?
Right, right.
This is a problem, right? Regular folks know that if it quacks, it's got webbed feet and it's got feathers, it's a duck. Why don't we call it that? I think plain-spokenness when it comes to these matters becomes all the more important. And you saw some plain-spokenness in this filing on Monday. I think it's important to point out some of the contradictions that you speak
of, Mike. Yes, please
do,
Maggie Dunn.
Right. So this is Senator Lemahieu.
You sure you're saying that right?
Who said this, that the nomination of Megan Wolf for reconfirmation by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is a 6-member bipartisan body that should be that is split 3-3, Democratic appointees and Republican appointees. He said Megan Wolf's nomination with a 3-0 vote is a 2/3 vote. Now, I don't think any of us here need to be math majors to understand that 2/3 of 6 does not equal 3. Together now, 2/3 of 6 does not equal 3. All right, into the rafters for Senator Lemahieu.
2/3
of 6
does
not equal
3. All right.
Woo!
I thought we weren't doing any math on the radio.
And in the filing on Monday, Lemahieu effectively admitted the opposite, that Wolf didn't, that the commission, the Wisconsin Election Commission, did not, quote, effectuate an appointment, and, quote, the Senate has no power to act upon an appointment where there is no pending appointment. Meaning, 2/3 of 6 ain't equal to 3. He admitted it. Again, we see these contradictions happening. Why this is palatable to any constituency, whether you are red or blue, a centrist, a far lefter, or a Freedom Caucus member, it should be that the factual prerequisites for good policy debates are actually facts, right? That we are talking about truths, not outright lies. That's the problem. Here you go again, respectfully to Speaker Voss. admitted.
Don't be respectful, please.
In the filing on Monday, admitted that the legislature's Joint Committee on Legislative Organization has, quote, no power to appoint an interim administrator where Administrator Wolf is holding over. But he then said on WISN days later, quote, I certainly think the law in my mind is crystal clear. The position is vacant. She was not confirmed. We need to have a new person selected by the Wisconsin Election Commission. If they refuse to do that, the Joint Committee on Legislative Organization is the natural route.
Except it's not.
Except I'm lying.
Yes. Now, to speak very briefly.
Respectfully, Speaker Voss.
And I do mean that. I think Speaker
Voss. He
does know that there is a wing of the party that is quite extreme. Much like Speaker McCarthy understood that there's a wing of House Republicans that is very extreme. But very briefly to address Mr. Czarnecki, who is the Democratic appointee to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Joe Czarnecki was a Milwaukee County supervisor. I worked with him. Before that, Mr. Czarnecki was the Milwaukee County clerk. This man has a record of public service. His record, if you look to it, is very middle of the road, pragmatic. This isn't a far left Democrat. There's literally not a single reasonable objection that Republicans have brought to bear about why Mr. Czarnecki should not be seated on the Wisconsin Election Commission. And when we lose our moorings in that way, when we're supposed to have a bipartisan commission, that you got three Dems, three Republicans, and someone who is more than anybody could ever ask, completely qualified to hold that seat in Mr. Czarnecki, that Republicans are blocking his appointment is truly a loss for democracy and a loss for all Wisconsinites, regardless of your politics.
If they can't fire Megan Wolf, they're going to fire somebody.
Or not allow them to be seated on a bipartisan commission that requires actual expertise.
So, Maggie Dawn, what happens now? I mean, who appointed, who offered? Is that something that comes from Governor Evers? Where does the next person appointee, presumably a Democrat, come from?
Yeah, they're always going to be a Democrat.
Right.
So, this guy actually knows how elections are run, but he's not the right guy? If not Mr. Czarnecki, then whom will pass the muster for this GOP in this moment in the Wisconsin Senate?
Maggie Dawn, our fine guest here at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin, partying live with the people. Maggie, you're doing a live show immediately to follow this fine program. You sticking around for a few more minutes with us?
I sure can, guys.
Awesome. More Maggie Dawn, more Devil's Advocates. The party's just getting started. Maggie Dawn will follow us. And don't forget, after Maggie, we got Ben Wickler joining us here at the table, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman. Keep it partying, folks.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the Jade Monkey in Madison, that funky monkey. Anya joining the table here along with Maggie Dawn. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Jade Monkey. Your first time here.
My first time here.
Excellent.
Oh, the monkey.
Yes.
The monkey.
Oh, the first time's the best time at the Jade Monkey. What was your fear? You expressed a fear to me.
I did.
Before you arrived at the monkey, what did your friends tell you?
I did. I expressed to my friends, look, I made a horrible mistake. I spoke too much on this radio station I was hired at, and now they want me to drive out to Madison to some place called the Jade Monkey to meet someone named Dom and Crude. And my friend said, Anya, you're getting sex trafficked. That's not anything. You're not.
No, that's not
true. They're luring you into Madison with the promises of salaries and stuff, and then you're going to go missing. So just tell us what's happening, girl. But no, it turns out it's a fantastic bar with a great tab that's wide open. So I love this place.
My new favorite place.
Yeah, my new favorite place, yeah.
We got one for you.
Oh.
But be careful.
Oh, okay.
It may not end
well. I get you.
No, thanks for coming down. And you, of course, are the producer on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I am.
And you guys are coming up next. Maggie, you've let Anya fly a little of late. And I've been proud of you, Anya. You've been doing a little
Wow.
Solo shows. I don't even like when Dom goes alone.
Yeah,
you've been doing quite well on you.
Well, so. Neither does Dom.
Yeah. Right. Seems like a lot of work on you.
Yeah, it is. It is. And for people of our height, Dom, it's hard to reach so high.
You know what I'm saying?
One of the things that I love about working with Anya is that there's just far too few women in media, in radio, doing political commentary writ large.
Yeah.
And most of the time when you do see women, they have to fit within a certain box.
Yes.
And one of the things that I appreciate so much about civic media is that I can say what I want. And when I could see that Anya had her own perspective, her own lived experience that I thought would bring value and that the listeners would enjoy, I don't need to worry about what she's going to say because you need to just do you on the radio.
Right.
When you do, it is amazing. And I'm so, so happy to
Anya Fonz.
Okay. I love
Anya.
Yeah.
No, you've done quite a good job. And we've all been quite impressed. And I mean that sincerely. And
thank you. Yeah.
I am a tough critic, I'll tell
you. You are.
Everybody says it.
The first time I finished, this last most recent solo show I did, I finished the show and I sprinted out of the studio, essentially, like, get me away from
That's
this.
That's what Dom does in every commercial break.
Yeah.
Where'd you run to?
I just home. And I got home and it said, Michael Kroot has tagged you in a message in a group chat. And I just put my phone down and went, it's over. It's over. The dream's done.
What am I, the angel of death? I only come calling if it's all over for you.
I'm Jewish. I wouldn't know. So.
But it was Passover.
Well, no, that's in a couple months. Don't even play with that idea. I'm not ready for Passover. But
Mike, at least get your calendar correct.
I know we're 3,000 years ahead, but come on.
But most sincerely, you and I, before you did the first guest host for me, you were talking about all the prep work that you did, which I always respect, and it's hard to carve out time to do that. And you also expressed to me what I thought was a really interesting sentiment, and it was, and I heard it on the air when you were doing your show, which was, I can't speak for my entire generation, and this is so hard to figure out what to say.
Yeah.
How are you doing with that? Because my advice to you was, like, don't worry about speaking for you're not the Pepsi generation. Don't worry about it. Speak for yourself.
Right.
And let that be its own guide.
Of course, yeah.
How is that feeling for you these days?
It's fine. I'm totally fine. I'm totally good. Totally good. It's less of an anxiety now than it is just sort of a recognition of what is in the media space. Like, I don't really know that there is someone my age further up north or further out west or whatever. So to be given by virtue of you trusting me, which is crazy, crazy thing to do, to have a voice piece, it's great to be able to do that.
Well, let me just double down on this. Not only do I trust you, I think you put out information and a perspective that everybody needs to hear, that I need to hear.
Thank you.
And I always appreciate and welcome your involvement and your voice. And for those of you that are Anya fans out there,
why?
Anya is going to be now doing probably two pickups of my Fridays when I am not hosting. She's going to be doing at least two of those. I'm going to continue to bring her in when I cannot be there. So look for more Anya Esther.
Thank
Yours is a voice that I want to always hear more of on the radio.
Thank you.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie Don and Anya Esther.
That's right. That's me.
Our fine guest. Maggie will be doing her fine show, and Anya will be assisting, coming up from the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge right here on Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. Let me say something. Let me just say this. Anytime you hear a female voice on talk radio, that's with intent. That is purposeful.
Yep.
That took some effort. Yep. Someone had to be recruited, groomed, taught how to do this because there is no school to learn how to do talk radio.
And I didn't go to school for radio. I'm a film major. How did I end up here? Who's letting me do this? Where are my parents?
What, philosophy paid too well?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's how I felt. Yeah, my two minors in journalism and Jewish studies weren't paying the bills, so I thought I'd jump into political talk radio with a film degree. Why not?
You should have considered a lucrative degree in mass communication.
That's right. That's what they kept telling me.
Maggie Don, Anna Esther, thank you so much. Very impressed by the work you've been doing. Got to throw this last one out there. It's a Wisconsin political issue and a sports issue. The funding for the Brewer Stadium has passed the assembly. $542 million less, slightly less burdensome on Milwaukee City and County. I know you're a fan, but what do you think of this, Maggie Dawn?
Listen, the Brewers are a cultural asset and an economic asset to the entire state of Wisconsin. Of course, the greatest amount of benefit comes to us in southeastern Wisconsin, but this is a shared responsibility. Milwaukee sports fans, Wisconsin sports fans are some of the greatest in the nation, and it would have been a shame to not figure out how to get this done. So I certainly hope that the decision makers do get it done. I want to see the Brewers stay here for a long, long time, and this is a shared responsibility. The question is not if, it's always how.
Thank you, Anya. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Stick around, more from the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler, our fine guest next.
The big and tall of political talk, the devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. This is producer Nate. We'll be getting back with Dom and Crute over at the Jade Monkey for our happy hour here in just a little bit. Don't worry, they won't be gone for too terribly long. In the meantime, I'll be here with you. Just had Maggie Dawn and producer Anya on the show talking about everything, the youth vote. Very happy to have them back here in the studio. Maggie Dawn going to be live from the Jade Monkey once we are done here. And I believe we have Dom and Crute back in the studio. Dom and Crute, can you hear me there?
Yeah, we're at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. We've been joined here at the table by Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, and nobody unplugged the internet again, or there'll be hell to pay. Ben Wickler, welcome back. Friend of the Devils, very important man you are here. This is perhaps the most important state. Ben, are we ready?
We'll check back in with the boys over at the Jade Monkey there. We'll should have them back in just a second here. Of course, Ben Wickler joining them over at the Jade Monkey for the Happier Happy Hour. And I think we might be back. I take that back. We are not back. But in the meantime, Happier Happy Hour here. Ben Wickler, you can join the guys down at the Jade Monkey, or you can join Maggie Dawn there. She'll be down there and until 7 o'clock tonight, going live from the Jade Monkey. In the meantime, as we wait for Dom and Crute to get back here, Jim Jordan, they mentioned him a little bit earlier, did not win the House Speaker vote today. He failed. Did not get it. Could not get enough votes. Like they were saying, Scalise got a couple votes. McCarthy got a couple of votes. Lee Zeldin got a couple of votes. Jim Jordan didn't quite make it. And they've postponed the vote, not voting again today. They're taking it up tomorrow because Jim Jordan couldn't get enough of the Republican votes there. And I think part of the issue with that, obviously, you know, we have GYM Jordan, Jim Jordan. He had all of that stuff happening with all the covering up sexual assault or not knowing about it. Sorry, maybe not quite covering it up. But his involvement with all of the January 6th stuff, he had a call with Donald Trump right after or during all of the January 6th insurrection that was happening at the Capitol there. And that's who they wanted as their speaker. That's who they chose. That's who all of Wisconsin's representatives over there, all the Republicans, I should say, Mark Pocan, of course, did not. He went for Hakeem Jeffries. All of Wisconsin's guys, all the Republicans, put everything they had with Jim Jordan there. They were for Scalise. Most of them were for Scalise for a good while there, but they flipped over and instead decided to put everything behind Jim Jordan because of Party. That's what Party is about. If Party is really, in fact, the January 6th insurrection, overturning the will of the voters, saying, hey, Joe Biden is not really our president. If that's what they say Party is, then, I mean, yeah, I guess he really is the party. If that's what they see as Party, let's check back in with Dom and Crute. Let's see if they can get us here over at the Jade Monkey. Nothing quite yet. Still waiting on that there. So let's go back. Let's take a look. Again, they're not taking another vote today because Jim Jordan could not drum up enough support in order to get a vote out and going today. He couldn't get enough Republicans to come together with him and say, let's just get this done. Vote for me. Because they didn't want to vote for him. Why would you want to vote for him? There is all of the Ohio State allegations that went through there, crying on the phone, asking them not to ruin his career by speaking up about the sexual abuse that was happening at the university there, or maybe his role in the January 6th insurrection there. You know, he did not want to certify the votes for Joe Biden. He was working. He had an 18-minute call, I believe it was, 18-minute call with Donald Trump that very day. And that's Jim Jordan. That's who they want as the Speaker of the House. That's who Republicans have said is their guy. Of course, I hold for one, Hakeem Jeffries really should, you know, they should just all put all their eggs behind there. But here's my counterpoint, George Santos. What if we need a huckster to be the Speaker of the House? Because that's what all their politics are anyways. It's all just lies and things like that. So why not? Why not have a Looney Tunes villain as our Speaker of the House? Why not have a guy who's what was he doing? He was stealing credit card information from his supporters, from his own supporters. I think that would work really well for the current state of the Republican Party. Why can't we have George Santos as our Speaker? That's all I'm asking. And I think we're getting a little bit. Nope. I was wrong. Dom and Crew, we will get back to Dom and Crew over at the Jade Monkey with, of course, Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party during the happy hour here. And again, remember, Maggie Dawn is going to be over at the Jade Monkey here tonight as well. She will be going live from the Jade Monkey until 7 o'clock. But let's go back to Jim Jordan for a second here. Last week, there was the back and forth. Will it be Jim Jordan? Will it be Steve Scalise? And everyone put all of their chips behind Steve Scalise. Mr. David Duke without the baggage himself. And then they rolled it back. He said, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. Can't do it. So everyone fell in line. I think what's more interesting to me, or more egregious to me, he did get 200 votes in the House today. 200 Republicans looked at Jim Jordan and said, oh yeah, I think that's great. I think that's what we're looking for. It was only a handful of Republicans that ended up saying, nah, I don't think so. Only a small handful. I believe it was 20 Republicans who said, I want someone else. And a lot of those guys are going to go, and they have said they are going to go back and vote for him. Here's from the New York Times. Here are the 20 Republicans who opposed Jordan today. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio lost a bid to become Speaker on Tuesday after 20 Republicans refused to back him, prolonging a two-week fight that has paralyzed the chamber and underscored the deep Republican divisions in the House. Now, some of these Republicans who voted against Jim Jordan today come from heavily blue districts, districts that Biden won in the last presidential election. A lot of those in New York, a couple in Nebraska, things like that. Also, I have people like McCarthy loyalists, the people who are, you know, they were with McCarthy the whole time. They didn't want all of this that Matt Gaetz really has been going for this whole time. And McCarthy, by the way, McCarthy and Scalise, I believe, both voted for Jim Jordan today. But we have Doug LaMalfa of California, John James of Michigan, Andrew Garbarino of New York, Carlos Gimenez of Florida, and Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. Those are the McCarthy loyalists. Those are the people that were really behind McCarthy. And I think if they take a second vote, which I believe they are looking at doing a second vote here tomorrow, I think that is their current schedule. I have a feeling that those six are going to move over and they are going to vote for Jordan. But that still leaves a good handful of people, good handful of Republicans that don't want to vote for him. There are all of the ones who are in these districts that voted for Biden in the last presidential election. Though if they don't want to go and put all of their marbles behind this guy who helped Donald Trump on January 6th, because that would look bad for them because they're going to be up for re-election pretty soon here. So I'm going to say maybe good on those Republicans. Good for me at the very least, because I just like seeing all the chaos. I think watching them in this sort of disarray, it does bring me a little bit of good feeling. Not because the country is going well. It's very much not, you know. I mean, it's all sort of falling apart. But it is nice to watch the Republican Party just fall apart like it has. It really, if the last 2 weeks hasn't shown that they are falling apart, what else do you want me to say? How much longer can they actually go without a House Speaker? We have everything that's happening in Israel and Palestine right now, and Gaza Strip. All of that's happening. House cannot do a single thing about it at the moment because they don't have a Speaker. And I believe I hear a Mr. Mike Crute.
How are we doing, Nate? Oh. We've moved outside. The party, the weather too glorious. We've had to move the party outside. We are still here at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. We're just in the outdoor portion. And I am joined here at the table by Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. Seeing which headphones Ben's got on. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good. It's great to be here in this very beautiful patio area at one of the finest retro funky cocktail lounges in the state of Wisconsin, the Jade Monkey.
Ben, when I last asked you, we were gearing up for a big 2024, this the most important state perhaps in the nation for election 2024. Ben, what's the gear up look like?
So this moment, it's kind of like when the ball's been thrown and you're waiting, you're holding your breath, waiting for it to be caught. We might, before the 2024 election, go from a democracy desert, as international studies have found Wisconsin currently to being actually a democracy, where not only are we the tipping point state in the Electoral College for the presidential race and the Senate majority with Tammy Baldwin's re-election and maybe the House majority with defeating Derek Van Orden and Ryan Stile, we'll see who else, but also new state legislative maps, which if the lawsuit succeeds that the group Law Forward has filed and the governor just weighed in with the Attorney General, Josh Call, we could have new elections for every single state senator, for every single state assembly person in newly drawn districts that are drawn to comport with our actual Constitution.
Come on, now you're daring us to dream, Ben Wickler.
I dare to dream. This is the moment. It is a moment that was almost unimaginable just a few years ago, but we could be there. And month by month, we're going to find out. We had yesterday, I think, the arguments were filed in court. November 21st, they'll be argued before our state Supreme Court. And then you know, this December, early next year, the Supreme Court could actually weigh in on the constitutionality of the maps, and everything could change. So we're in the midst right now of finding folks all across Wisconsin to run with Greta Neubauer and Melissa Agard in the State Senate and State Assembly, finding great organizers, we just hired Austin Keeler as our party affairs director to work with all our caucuses and county parties to strengthen up. This is spring training for a season that will change the world. That is the moment that we're in this autumn in the state of Wisconsin.
So no pressure, right, Ben Wickler? We've got the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Ben Wickler. We're outside the Jade Monkey out here in the grotto, and the people, the party. It's like the cops ran in and the people ran out. We are out here with the people. Come party with us at the Jade Monkey. We'll come back more with Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. More partying at the Jade Monkey.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show live from the Jade Monkey in Madison. Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, joining us outside. Ben, thanks for coming down. You give me hope, man. I mean, maybe this is why you've been so successful as a Democratic chair. When you talk about these, what could potentially happen with these maps, you give me hope. Perhaps there could be
a
reckoning.
And he's a cynic, Bill. Oh, Ben. My bad.
There is hope. Yeah. I mean, it's actually real now. It feels often, I think, as a Democrat in Wisconsin, like we are Lucy in the football situation, right? That there's going to be new maps with the U.S. Supreme Court, and then they kick the can down the road. Then we win in 2018. We have a Democratic governor. He vetoes the Republicans' gerrymandered maps. We've got them this time. Then the U.S. Supreme Court kicks those maps away, and then the state Supreme Court chooses the Republicans' maps. But this time, they had one real shot, which was their threat to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. And then the people of Wisconsin rose up. The public outcry was explosive and absolutely unignorable. And you heard from Republican legislators, one after another, that it was a bridge too far. And they didn't back up Robin Voss. He didn't have the votes for once in his life. And he actually just said in an interview, he's like, you know, I never bring something to the floor if I don't have the votes. Well, he didn't bring impeachment to the floor because the public told their representatives and their state senators, absolutely not. And so now we actually have the state Supreme Court majority that can do its job. They're actually reading our Constitution instead of just, you know, reading the latest Diane Hendricks and Uline talking points. And we have a shot at becoming a democracy.
Ben, you know what? We've been reading the legal filings of the Republican leadership, the legislative leadership. In the case of Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner administrator. And they've been lying through their teeth, Ben.
They're telling us something
in the media on Sunday and then Monday in the legal filings when it matters. They tell us the truth, man.
They admitted in their legal filing that the vote was, quote, symbolic.
Symbolic?
Unquote.
What does that mean?
They held a vote. Every single one of their gerrymandered supermajority Republican senators voted to, quote, unquote, fire Megan Wolf. And now they admit what we've known all along, the public has known, which is that they have no authority to do that. It was completely out of order. It was total BS. And the reality is they're trying to undermine our election system, but they don't have all the cards. And this is not going to fly in court. This is another one of these assaults where, because the public has organized and mobilized and done its work, the GOP doesn't actually have all the tricks up their sleeve that they're used to having. And they're going to have to deal with something they haven't dealt with in a very long time, which is actual democracy.
What?
I know.
Slow down, sir. And by the way, my hair is symbolic, but let me ask you. They couldn't fire Megan Wolf, so they got rid of one of the Wisconsin Elections Commissioners. One of the Democratic appointees, Sarnacki, today I understand is being disempaneled from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. To what end, Ben? I mean, other than a little vengeance, a pound of flesh, why?
Well, this is another attempt that they have that will fail for reasons I'll explain. But if they can stop the Wisconsin Elections Commission from having six members and instead only have five, where three are appointed by Republicans, then they could have a majority. The three Republicans could vote, send Megan Wolf to the state Senate. The state Senate could fire Megan Wolf, and boom, one-stop shopping. They have undermined our system of free and fair elections by getting rid of our top elections administrator. There's one problem, though. which is we have a governor that the people of Wisconsin chose named Tony Evers, and he can appoint a replacement for the person that they just fired. So
does that person need senatorial confirmation?
No. Well, eventually they could have another vote. We could vote someone down, and the governor can appoint someone else. It's like Captain America. Right. I can keep doing this all day. That's the way it works here now.
It doesn't make any sense, and it certainly doesn't bode well for governance here. Ben, talk about the national picture. Again, you've been very successful here in your tenure. It's Dane County, Madison continues to turn out. Milwaukee County, I got faith. But this is certainly the core.
I'm taking a little credit for Dane and Madison.
Of the turnout. What do you attribute that to, Ben?
Well, the Civic Media Radio Network
yes, of
is
course.
Informing voters and cutting through right-wing propaganda. So people all over the state, and I actually mean this in a serious way, The fact that there are broadcasters not taking one side or another, but you know, actually speaking truth all over Wisconsin makes a difference. Having grassroots organization all over Wisconsin. I mean, you say I've been successful. It is the volunteers, the county party activists, the candidates running in gerrymandered legislative districts who've been successful at breaking through a wall of Republican disinformation and legal trickery. And that is how we've gotten to this point. It's not like, you know, Janet Protasiewicz won in a landslide. Most of these elections have not been landslides.
Yeah.
We beat Trump in 2020 by 0.6 percentage point. That is a classic field margin. That is people knocking on doors made that happen. In 2022, no Democrat had won a governor's race with a Democratic president since 1962 in our state. So statistically, we were doomed. But we won by 3.4%. Now, that is triple the governor's margin in 2018. It's a Wisconsin landslide. Nationally, that's called a very close election
right.
When you win by 3.4. Once again, that is people refusing to be beaten into submission and saying, you know, demanding their freedom and their rights, demanding to be led in the state's highest executive office by someone who's actually a person of dignity and decency and respect for everybody, no matter where they live or what they look like. This is a party that represents people in small towns and rural areas and big cities and suburbs alike. And the Republican Party has essentially declared war on more than half the population. And they're trying to take away freedoms from women all over the state of Wisconsin, from LGBTQ people, from black Wisconsinites. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. From young Wisconsinites, they were fantasizing about eliminating campus voting.
Too easy.
This is their great idea. And democracy is the art of addition. It's bringing people together. Their whole thing is to divide, divide, divide. They used to be able to conquer with that, but they're conquering no longer. And that, to me, is where the deeper hope comes from. Wisconsin has been through the ringer. I mean, it has gotten so tough for so many people in so many corners of the state. And the fact that Wisconsinites didn't give up in the face of that and kept fighting, that's what's brought us to this moment. We're on the brink of a potential breakthrough in the fight for democracy in our state.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party chairman, for just a few more minutes. Ben, let me ask you. Abortive rights have been an issue here. We are under a ban, or at least some legal theories are that we're under an 1849 ban, but Planned Parenthood has begun, at least in two communities, Madison and Milwaukee, they've begun providing services again. Ben, are you worried that this will somehow blunt this issue or take some of the steam out of the issue?
I think everyone in Wisconsin is clear that the GOP, if it has the power to do it, will take away your right, your fundamental freedom to make your own decision about your own body. They've shown that they're willing to do that. When they had control over the courts and control over the legislature, they didn't lift a finger to make it possible for people to access reproductive care. If they win in the Senate and the White House, they will pass a national abortion ban. Mark my words. And that fact alone makes this the central issue in 2024.
1 year to the election, Ben. How can people get involved with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
Go to wisdems.org, wisdems.org. You can sign up to volunteer. We'll be knocking on doors all the way through the most intense snowfall that's going to come sometime in November. We need help
Don't
in every corner
that.
Of the state.
Don't even say that. Ben Wickler, thank you so much for joining us here at the Jade Monkey. Thank you to Judge Chris Taylor, Maggie Dawn, Anya. Who else am I forgetting? Oh, Joe Parisi.
Yeah.
The outgoing Dane County Executive, our buddy Joe Parisi. Thank you all for partying with the Devil's Advocates. And don't forget, Maggie Dawn, she's up next live from the Jade Monkey. If you aren't here yet, you better hurry up and get here. The party's just getting started. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much, guys.